Well, after that performance by your orchestra and your, I don't feel worthy to even be up here preaching, to be honest with you. So much excellence in this church. So many people giving what they have to the Lord. It's a very generous church. Don't ever take for granted what you have here. See, I go across the country. I'm lots of churches, about 30-something a year. And, you know, what you have here is very unique. It's not everywhere. It's very rare. So praise the Lord for it. You know, like I said the other night, you know, like I gave the example of the log cabin church that we have. If you're coming here for the church, you won't be coming for long. You know, and don't forget what you saw when you first came into this church. You know, the people were friendly. The Bible was preached, singing out of an old-fashioned hymn book. Sometimes we can take those traditional things, those old paths, traditions, we can take them for granted. But, man, it's rare. It's very rare. And, you know, there's Bible-believing churches out there that are starting to head in the other direction. And they're doing that because they're losing members, and they, you know, compromise has to be given up somewhere, and we should not do that. And I'm thankful for a church that sticks by the stuff. Amen? All right. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. In Acts 27, Paul here is in a storm on his way to Rome, and we're going to pick it up in verse 40. And the Bible says, "And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, these folks have given so much. Lord, help me to be worthy to even be standing up here behind this pulpit. I pray you give me exactly what to say. I want to help these people. And at the same time, help myself. Lord, I do pray that you be honored and glorified tonight, that your word be proclaimed clearly as it should be, that the Holy Spirit of God does his job. And Lord, ministers to our hearts and changes us and conforms us. And God, help us to be what we should be. Help us to go a little further. The same way you went a little further for us. Help us, Lord, to just be willing to go a little further. And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You know, you can't sit in stormy seas doing nothing and expect to make it. They were in a storm. The sea was rough. So they were given some instruction. He said, take up the anchors, commit yourself unto the sea, and make toward shore. And you know, some of the things that are keeping you and I from being exactly where the Lord would want us to be, doing what the Lord would want us to do, are the anchors that we allow in our lives. We allow the anchors. We're the ones that cause us to sit in stormy seas. Because we refuse to take up some of those anchors that are precious to us. I've oftentimes talked to people who told me they were called to the mission field. But I don't really want to, you know, I'm really torn about going because I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my job. I'm leaving the security of the finances. I'm leaving all that. And stepping out and going to a foreign country is just unnerving to me. Those anchors keep us from being where God wants us to be. Doing what God wants us to do. And it's going to beat you to death unless you do. It's going to be a hard life. It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. And if we're not following the Lord's will, does that not then make us a transgressor? If we're not following his will? And then it says, make your way to your shore. Your shore may be different than my shore, different than your pastor's shore. What is your shore? Do you even know? Do you even know, do you even care as to where God would have you to be, what God would have you to do? You know, God is not up there saying, I know something that you don't know. and I'm not going to tell you. God wants you to know his will. God wants you to know what shore he'd have you to be at. What does he want you doing? It might be right here in this church being a blessing to your pastor. Amen. Amen. It might be in a foreign field somewhere. It might be going off to Bible school. Whatever it is. You know, we're all part of the body. My position is no more important than your position. Not at all. We're all part of the body, just doing what God's asked us to do. But let me ask you, what has God asked you to do? What's holding you back? Is it a lack of commitment? They committed themselves to that shore. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't know, I think God's called me to be a missionary in this foreign field, but, you know, I don't know how long he wants me to go for. I'm not really sure even what country it is. I'm not sure, but I just feel like he wants me in missions. Then commit yourself to preparing yourself for the mission field, until which time he tells you. We have a great example of that in Acts chapter 8, where the angel of the Lord is speaking to Philip. Philip's up in the feast in Jerusalem. And what does he say to Philip? He says, arise and go south. That's exactly what God told me to do, amen? Arise and go south. He didn't say where to. He didn't say for what purpose. He didn't say for how long he was going to stay. He just said, arise and go south. Would you be willing to do that for God? Philip was, and he was able to win the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. And we know that story. But God didn't give him all the details. He gave him one thing. He gave him the direction. Head south. And then I'll let you know on the journey what I want you to do next. Just get marching. What does God want you to do? What shore does God want you to be on? What anchors might be holding you back? The first thing that's necessary to get to our shore is commitment. I will make it. I will do it. Commitment. You know, the Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I remember after I got saved, I didn't know what tithing was about. And I was making a lot of money. And I asked my wife, I said, what is tithing? I see people putting money in this plate. They're going around collecting money from people. What's that all about? She goes, that's where you give 10% of your income to the Lord. I'm calculating at this point. I said, that's a lot of money. She goes, well, that's not all. Then there's missions and there's special offerings and, you know, building programs and, all right. So I'm thinking, I'm walking back to my bedroom. We were talking in the kitchen. I walk into the bedroom. I'm still thinking. I get into the shower and I'm still thinking. And I shout out, honey, is that on the net or the gross? She said, gross. I said, it sure is. But I did it. I did it. Why? You did. You're a hypocrite. You did it and you really didn't want to do it. So what? Commit thy works in the Lord and thy thoughts shall be. That's future tense. Shall be established. That's future. And God changed my heart about it. I gave it because it was right. But my heart wasn't in it. You're right. But I'm going to tell you right now. You know, I'd rather you be a hypocrite. I really would. I'd rather you be a hypocrite and do what's right, even though you don't feel like doing it. Until which point God makes you a happy-crit. And thy thoughts shall be, future tense, established. People told me, you need to witness to your family. I go, you got to be kidding me. My parents aren't even talking to me. You want me to go witness to them? They found out that I was this born-again Christian. I left the Catholic Church. I'm not going to be a priest or anything. And you think I'm going to tell them about they're going to hell? Well, the Bible says to do that. Okay, And then we'd have my parents over. We'd have a slideshow. You remember the old slide projectors and things? And we'd have a slideshow, and we'd be showing places we went and all the rest. My kids were really young at that point. We're all sitting there. We're showing slides. All of a sudden, a picture comes up of a church on the slideshow, and my kids cry out right in front of my mom and dad, "Is that a good church or a bad church? Does that one send them to hell?" Out of the mouth of babes. But I did witness. I did. As hard as it was, I did. I didn't want to, but I did. Why? Because it's right. Even though my heart wasn't in it. If God's called you to be somewhere, to do something for Him, then start preparing yourself right now. Even if you have anchors, even if you have a lack of commitment, even just do right because it's right. And God will bless you for it. God will change your heart. God will change your heart and make you a cheerful giver. Amen? We commit to a lot of things. We commit to marriage. Isn't I do a commitment? You know, we commit to family. We commit to friends. We commit to ourselves with our health, with our finances. I'm going to, you know, put $50 away every week so that one day I'll be able to retire and have nothing. Right. Amen. So we make commitments. Why not make commitments with God? Because He might hold me to it. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 12. I really didn't want to tithe. I really didn't want to witness. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to go to church three times a week. But I did, I did, I did, I did, I did, I did, and I did. And now I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. And I love it. I love it. I love writing that tithe check. I love it. I love opening my Bible. I love going to church. I love singing the hymns. I didn't used to, not at all. But God will bless your commitment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I want you to notice in that verse, there are four times the word "us" appears. Us, 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 us. It's personal. It's your weights. It's your sins. It's your, you know, the race that you need to run. It's for you. Let us lay these things aside. The weights, the sins, and the cares, these are the personal anchors that are holding us back. And the race is getting to the shore where God would have us to be. And you know the thing I like about the great cloud of witnesses? I played baseball. I was a pitcher. And I was on the wrestling team in high school and in college. But I always performed better when my dad was there watching. Whenever I would, you know, get a hit in baseball and run to first base, who do you think the first person I looked at when I got to first base? I got to first base, I touched the base. Look over at Dad with a big smile on his face. I'd strike somebody out, look over at Dad with a big smile on his face. I'd pin somebody, look over at Dad with a big smile on his face. I get pinned, don't look at Dad. But I always did. And we need to remember that. We're being watched. Yeah, you know, we don't know who the great cloud of witnesses are. Could be heavenly witnesses, could be angels, could be people right down here. There's a lot of witness, but we are being watched. And you know, you can encourage or discourage somebody by the amount of commitment that you make to the Lord. The amount of commitment that you make, the amount of things you're willing to sacrifice, the amount of anchors you're willing to take up to get to where God wants you to be. You can be an encouragement or a discouragement. And the choice is yours. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. That means it's effort. It takes effort, continual effort to press. We must keep forgetting our past and keep reaching forth and keep pressing towards the shores where God would have us to be. And you know one of the biggest things that keeps us from getting to where God wants us to be? The ability to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we think we're not worthy. God will never be able to use me. God can't use this. I have failed him so many times. I've come to the altar for the same thing week after week after week after week. I'm not delivered of it. God can't use me. You can't forgive yourself. You'll never be able to get to where God would have you to be. It's true. You need to forget those things which are behind and reach forward unto those things which are before and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's essential. It's essential. You know, I read Hebrews 11 and I read that Moses was faithful and I read that Abraham was faithful and Sarah was faithful. And I feel like saying, Lord, can I take you back to the book of Genesis just for a minute? Can I not show you in the book of Genesis that he told his wife to lie? Can I not take you back there? You told him to leave Lot behind. He took Lot with him. You told him not to go down into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. He went down anyway. How is it you can write all these, that you can say he was faithful in everything? He went in under Hagar and didn't believe your promises. How is it? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. What sin are you talking about? Paul, I don't know what you're talking about. And Moses, remember, Moses smote the rock. Remember, he smote that rock and you said he couldn't go into... What are you talking about, Paul? He was faithful. Abraham was faithful. Sarah was faithful. If he can forgive us, why can't we forgive us? He's our judge. If he's written it off, why don't you? Amen. It's just like your taxes. Write it off. Amen. God wants you to press on. And he knows if you don't forgive yourself, that will be an anchor. That will be a weight that will hold you back from getting to the shore where God would have you to be. Make the commitment to take up those anchors and get to where God wants you to be. And it starts with forgiving yourself. Yeah. Now turn to Acts chapter 27, if you would, again. So how important is this, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forth unto these things which are before? How important is it? Paul the Apostle says, this one thing I do. Wow. Sounds to me like it's a priority. It's pretty important, Christian. Pretty important. And Paul himself would say he was the chief of sinners, did he not? When I do good, evil is present with me. That which I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. Paul would be the first one to tell you, I'm still a sinner, but I'm still going to press on. I know I'm not worthy, but I'm still going to press on. And if Paul's name had been in Hebrews chapter 11 and been written about him, God would have said him, Paul was faithful in all his things. No matter what. Acts chapter 27, look at verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. And you know, one of the things that we can honestly see here, that if they were not able to swim, they would not have been able to escape. They had to get off that ship. And unless you learn to swim for yourself, Christian, you're not going to be able to escape. There has to come a time when a child is weaned from its mother. And there also comes a time when a Christian is weaned from constantly tugging on the coattails of their pastor. You need to learn to read your Bible for yourself. You need to learn how to find the answers to your questions yourself. You need to learn what the Bible says about finance on yourself. By yourself. How to witness. By yourself. Yeah. You have to learn how to swim on your own. Can't constantly rely upon the pastor. The Bible clearly tells us that, you know, with the temptation, God will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You want to escape the temptations and the trials of this life, you're going to have to learn how to swim through this book from beginning to end. And folks, I've got bad news for you. It doesn't happen on an iPad. You need the book. How many times, and these men that preach, they can tell you, you can go through this book and say, I know where that verse is. It's in the right-hand column in the book of Corinthians. It's in chapter 9. It's on the right-hand side down at the bottom. How do you know that? Because I've gone through it and gone through it and gone through it and gone through it and gone through it, and I know where these verses are. And you don't get that on an iPad. Get in that old-fashioned book. Look at verse 43 with me. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded. No one becomes a lifesaver without first having a desire to save. Desire is more important than duty. Desire will always win out over duty. Duty will only last so long. But when you have desire, that'll take you to the finish line. You know, I remember we did lifesaver training. My mom was emphatic about us all learning how to swim, just in case. And so she put us through lifesaver training. And I remember going to the pool. I remember the pool. I remember everything. It was horrific. And I jumped into the water, and they said, now tread water. I said, okay, no problem. Just treading water, smiling like this is nothing, lifeguards. This is nothing. And then they tossed me one of those rubber bricks and said, now hold the brick for 5 minutes and kick just with your legs. Try that one on for size. I got done doing it after drinking half the pool. And I went to hand the brick back to them, and they said, now put it between your legs and stay afloat just with your arms. It was death. It was the worst. But it was all of what was necessary to make me into a lifesaver. It was hard work. And I never would have done it had it just been out of duty. I had to have the desire to want to become a lifesaver. And all of us, Christian, should want to become, in the Christian realm, lifesavers. But it takes work. And it's not going to come from just constantly calling your preacher and asking him question after question after question. Get in the book and swim for yourself. Some of the hardest things I've ever done, I didn't think I could do. I didn't think I could quit certain sins. I didn't think I could witness. I knew I didn't think I could tithe. And I never thought I could preach. I never thought I'd be up here doing this. Are you kidding me? Thought I was going to be an engineer and retire at that company. I mean, I never saw what God was doing. But he told me to go south. And after I went south, I found out what he wanted me to do. I thought I was going to start an engineering company. He said, oh, no. You're going to build things, but you're not going to be building like cars and trucks and things like that. You're going to be building people. And desire won out over duty. You know, centurion commanded. It says the centurion was commanding because drowning people are frantic. For people to be saved, somebody needs to be in charge. There's your lifesaver at this church. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have more than one lifesaver. He's your senior lifesaver. And he should be commanding, and he does, and you should be following. And it looks to me like you do, and that's a blessing to see. The Bible says, we then are that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Lifesavers have a job to do. It's work. It's hard work. And you're trying to help those that are weak, that can't help themselves. It says not to please ourselves. Swimming is fun and leisurely, but life-saving is very hard work. And we do a lot of splashing, and sometimes we think that because we splash a lot as Christians, that makes us a lifesaver. It doesn't. It doesn't. We do a lot of splashing in here. I wonder how much splashing we do out there. Because they're the ones that need the saving in here. This one here is pretty well taken care of. Out there is where they're drowning. I used to work as a security guard at North Ponds Park in Webster, New York. And my job was just to really patrol and, you know, make sure everything was going right and people were parking in the right place and garbage was being taken care of. And I was basically a security guard. I wasn't a lifeguard at that point. But I was walking around the swimming area and started talking to this really cute girl. And she was cute. Not as cute as you, honey, but she was cute. So I was talking to this girl, and I was distracted. And all of a sudden, this mother goes, "My child is drowning! Right there, my child is drowning! Help!" And the lifeguard wasn't there. And everyone looks at me. I'm a security guard. I'll probably drown your kid while trying to save him. But we went in and we got him anyway and we got him out. But the thing was, the mothers were a little upset because we weren't paying attention to the swimmers. I tried to explain I was a security guard, but that did not fly well with that mama. But you know, I was distracted. And there was someone drowning just 10 feet away. Isn't that terrible? How many people do you have 10 feet away that are drowning? How about your next door neighbors? How about the guy at the office? The girl at the office that sits in that desk just 10 feet away from you, drowning. You say, well, I don't know what to say to them. Why? Because pastor's not there. Learn to get in the book. Learn to swim for yourself. Take up the anchors. Make your way to shore. Get to where God would have you to be, doing what God would have you doing. People are drowning out there, folks. There's a bunch of people drowning out there. We need to do something about it. It was a shame on me, no doubt. You know, they say that people who are drowning are too embarrassed to ask for help. They actually interviewed people that had been rescued by lifesavers that were drowning and asked, "Why did you not scream out? Why did you not ask for help?" And they said, "We were embarrassed." You know, I bet you there's a bunch of people out there that are just too embarrassed to ask for help and would love the help that you and I have to offer. And we just assume everyone out there doesn't want to hear it. That's a lie. Why are you sitting in here? You're a somebody. There was a point in your life you wanted to hear it. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. You know, if we don't use it, we lose it. I remember during COVID, I went into evangelism in 2018. That's when my son took the church. And COVID hit. And you couldn't get a meeting anywhere. I'd call up pastors and they'd say, "We're not even meeting. No, we can't have you in." So I wasn't preaching anywhere for, you know, probably a couple years. And then all of a sudden, you know, COVID kind of relaxed and I got out, started preaching, get behind the pulpit. Guess what? I couldn't recall scripture like I used to. When I wanted to quote a verse, it just wasn't there. Why? Because I wasn't using it. And it's going to be the same thing for you. Use it or lose it. Use the things that you're being taught in this church and then teach it to others. When you teach to others, you reinforce it in yourself. The question is, Christian, are you doing what you can? Now look at verse 43 with me again at our text. So we see the lifesavers. Now in verse 43, the second part, it says that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Those that could swim didn't need a lifesaver. They could jump into the water and swim to shore on their own. They aren't strong enough to save others, but they're at least strong enough to not need saving. Right? They can swim on their own and get to shore. But as a swimmer, you have to be honest now, as a swimmer, how much of the lifesaver's time do you take up? You could swim on your own. You can swim on your own. But rather than look it up for yourself, I'm just going to text preacher. Preacher, what was that verse you used on Sunday again had something to do with? And rather than look it up yourself and find it yourself, you just call the preacher. What if everyone in the church did that? I wonder if preacher would have much time left to save others. If you can swim, you need to swim. Why did they need to jump in first? So that they could swim away from where the people were jumping in, making room for those who couldn't swim. Makes sense. I did a mile swim. I was in Boy Scouts. One of the things to get my Eagle Scout, I had to do the mile swim. And we went up to upstate New York to a big reservoir. And we had about three of us that were going to do the mile swim. Well, the rest of the tenderfoots and the first class and the second class scouts, they went out with us in canoes. They wanted to follow us as we swam. So we got out there into the middle of the reservoir, and our scout leader said, okay, jump in, guys. And the three of us jumped in, and we started treading water, and it was cold. It was a reservoir. And all the tenderfoots and all the rest, they were in the canoes watching us, and it was a lot of fun, and we were ready. So we said, okay, Scoutmaster, where are we swimming to? He says, you see those pine trees? Oh, those right there? He goes, not those right there. Way out there. A mile. A mile's a long way when you're in the water. That's a long way. 5,280 feet, 1,760 yards. Yeah, it's a long way. And he says, start swimming. I remember as I was swimming, I was getting tired. I was getting tired. But the guys in the boat were saying, you can do it, Paul. You can do it. Keep going. Keep going. They were encouraging me. And I didn't want to let them down either. I wanted to make it, and I kept swimming. I would try different strokes. I would do the crawl. I'd do the side stroke. I'd do the elementary backstroke. I would do whatever I needed to do to take a break because I wanted to make it. Why? Because I didn't want to let those guys down. I wanted to encourage them that if I can do it, so can you. So can you. And Christian, the bottom line, even the title of this message is doing what you can. Are you doing what you can? I know you're doing something. In this church, you're doing something. But are you doing what you can? Are you doing what the Lord's called you to do? There was a Miami Dolphin football player. His name was Rob Conrad. He took his boat out 9 miles out of Miami. He went out by himself. He had problems with the boat. The boat sank. He was 9 miles out. Now, it was not a 9 mile swim back. It happened to be a 27 mile swim back because the currents were taking him sideways. He got back after 16 hours of swimming. They interviewed him and they said, Rob, I mean, where'd you learn how to swim? Were you like on the swim team in school or what? I mean, he goes, no, I'm not. I'm a football player. I'm not a swimmer. He goes, then how'd you do it? He said, I had to. And you know, if we had that mindset to take up the anchors, to commit ourselves and get to the shore that God would have us to be at, we would do it. Because we have to. We have to. He died for me. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. That's right. I have to. If you can swim, then you need to start swimming toward the shore, toward your shore, and get to your land. All right, let's look at verse 44. It says, and the rest, some on boards. Well, before I became a swimmer, I was a kicker. Don't you remember those kickboards? Yeah, you'd hold on to that kickboard and you'd kick with all you got and try and get somewhere and it feels like you're going nowhere. Yeah, I remember that. I remember starting on one side of the pool and they gave me a kickboard. And, you know, one thing I realized, the kickboard really wasn't strong enough to hold me up. It wasn't like buoys. So it needed forward motion, kind of like a bicycle. You can't sit on a bicycle standing up straight without any forward motion. You needed some forward motion. So as long as I was kicking, I was able to stay afloat, no problem. But it required something of me. And I had to kick. I wanted to become a swimmer where I could use my arms and all that, but I wasn't there yet. I was just a kicker. But that was fine. And even when I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere, after about 2 or 3 minutes of this, trying to get across the pool, I would look over my shoulder and say, wow, look at how far I've gone. Yep. You know, slow and steady wins the race, said the tortoise. Amen. Yeah, I know I'm not making as much progress as the guy that's swimming. I'm not making as much progress as the guy that's a lifesaver, but I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what I can. The Lord doesn't save somebody today and expect them to be spiritually like the pastor the next day. He's a child. He has to grow. And all of the tripping and stumbling and falling and crawling and that goes along with that. Some on boards. Swimmers need to be mindful of kickers because they're not where you are. And we do need to be mindful of those that are young in the Lord. Sometimes we can discourage them by trying to show them all of what we know and all of what we can do. And they know that they're less than that. And we can discourage people right out of the race. We need to be like the ones in the canoe saying, you can do it! You can do it! Come on! I know you can do it! We need to encourage people that are young in the Lord that it's worth it to press, to move forward, and to make progress with the Lord. You know, I used to kill, I was talking to the pastor earlier and his wife, you know, earlier in my ministry, I killed a lot of sheep. Killed a lot of sheep. Wish I could go back and do some things over. But I killed a lot of sheep trying to do the role of the Holy Spirit of God. I tried to conform the people the way I thought they should be conformed. In my time frame, like by tomorrow, it doesn't work that way. People need to be molded by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And He does so much better a job of it than I do. And not everybody progresses at the same rate. So just because this guy over here is all of a sudden, you know, he has his hair cut and he's all dressed up and he looks sharp and everything going, this guy over here might take an extra 6 months, but so what? He's here. He's under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. We need not be so concerned with the outside. We need to be concerned with the inside. The Lord changes people from the inside out. The world changes people from the outside in. And we don't want to be that way. So be mindful of those that are younger than you, the kickers. And sometimes the swimmers. If you're a lifesaver. And look at the last one. Verse 44, the last part of verse 44. And some on broken pieces of the ship. They're the ones with the floaties. You know those floaties that you put on little kids' arms? They're not going to swim. They don't go anywhere. They just float. They're doing well just to keep their head above the water. But they're happy. You ever see a little kid in the water with floaties? And what do they say? Again, again, again. Put me out, let me jump again, again. At the first time, they're so scared to jump. They're so, they didn't know. They're so scared. And then they finally do it, and Papa's there, or Grammy is there to catch them. And they, again, again, again. That's what we need to do for these young ones in the Lord that have been saved for just a short amount of time. We're not here trying to make you into something quickly. Let the Holy Spirit of God will do that. I'm here to encourage you that it's worth it to keep going, that you're doing a great job. Because I know there's people here that were probably here last year that might not be here this year. I wouldn't know. You would. People that maybe sat there, sat over there. Maybe a phone call of encouragement could get some people back in the water. Just a little word of encouragement. Miss you. Praying for you. I know you could do it. You were off to a good start. Why don't you come back and try again? I had that. I had someone that did that for me. Yeah. His name was Jay Abish. He was missionary to Montreal. And he was our assistant pastor before he became a missionary. One night I came home after having gone out partying. And I came home and I was crying my eyes out. I said, I can't do this. I can't do it. I'm getting out of the water. I'm taking the floaties off. I'm getting out. I'm done. I can't do this. And I called up Jay and I said, Jay, I can't do it. He said, what are you doing right now, Paul? I said, I'm in my kitchen talking to you. He said, come on over to the house right now. Right now, I said, it's 11 o'clock, Jay. He says, come on over right now. I said, I'm in my pajamas. He said, come over right now. I went over in my pajamas. My wife went with me in her pajamas. She had her bathrobe. And we knocked down his door. He brought me into his house for 2 hours. He just put his arm around me. Prayed with me. Encouraged me. Said, you can do it, Paul. I know you can do it. Had it not been for people like that, spent 2 hours with me at 11 o'clock at night. And that wasn't the only time. He encouraged me and encouraged me and encouraged me and encouraged me. I wouldn't be standing here now. One man made that difference in my life. Are you doing what you can to make a difference in the person that used to sit there, or the one that you might know is on the verge of getting out? Many are sick, many sleep. You know, what can you do? Are you doing what you can? Some on broken pieces of the ship. Swimmers and kickers need to be mindful of these little floaters. Have you ever seen little kids in the pool with their floaties on? Then the bigger kids try and do a cannonball right next to the little kids and just totally bury them. That's so mean. And then they cry and then they want to get out of the pool. And hey, you know, we can do the same thing in the church house. But we ought not. We should be encouragers. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. I think it would be good for kickers and swimmers to remember what manner of man you used to be. Then we might be more mindful of the floaters. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, people like the shallow waters. Why do they like the shallow waters? Because they can touch bottom. Gives them a sense of security. Take them out into the deeper water where they can't touch bottom, and it puts a little bit of fear into you, especially when you don't know what's underneath you. Do, 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 do. Yeah. But you know, I want you to look at this. It contains every one of what we've talked about tonight. It says, he entered into one of the ships. The enterer is the floater. Lord, save me. Just like with Peter, when he started to sink, it says immediately, the Lord stretched out his hand and lifted him up. Immediately, the Lord was the lifesaver. Peter was the one entering in. He was the floater. Then it says what? Thrust out a little from the land. The thruster is the kicker. Thrust out a little. I just want you to trust me a little. Just not far. I'm not asking you to go far. I'm asking you to just go a little further out than you've been floating. I want you to get out there a little bit. Go out there a little bit. Trust him. thrust out a little from the land. Test God. Keep kicking. That board will keep you afloat. Then it says, launch out. Those are the swimmers. They're the ones willing to take the nesty plunge. You know, step out onto the water and really trust God. And then it says, let down. That's the lifesaver. That's the preacher, the missionary, the evangelist, the teacher, and even the aged men and women of God, the fishers of men, to let down the nets. But they're all encompassed there in that portion of Scripture. So what am I saying to those that are lifesavers? Get saving. That's not the only lifesaver. I said he was the senior lifesaver. I would assume that there are many lifesavers in this church. People that don't have to rely upon the preacher for each and every little thing that they need to do in their life, and they're able to save others. They can reach out and see other people get saved. Then you have the get swimming. Lifesavers need to get saving. Swimmers need to swim. I thought about this. If swimmers had jumped in and chosen the boards and the broken pieces of the ship because they didn't really want to swim, I'd rather relax. I'd rather hang on to a board and just kick. Or I'd rather just hang on to the big hunk of ship and just float on in. Even though I can swim, I'd rather float or kick. I wonder how many hunks of ship and how many boards would have been available for those that couldn't swim. Yeah. And, kickers need to kick. Floaters need to float. And like I said, if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get in. You need to get in. You need to trust Him. You need to put the floaties on and trust Him and jump. Jump into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save your soul. You know, the Lord said about the woman, Mary of Bethany, when she anointed His head and His feet. You know what He said to His disciples when they rebuked Him, said that money could have been, that ointment could have been sold and given to the poor? He said, she hath done what she could. That's the question I ask to each and every one of you tonight. Can you stand before the Lord right now and say, I've done what I could? Would the Lord say of you, He or she has done what they could? That's the Lord's testimony for Mary. That's what the Lord said about Mary. What would the Lord say about me? What would the Lord say about you? You know, if your child was 15 years old and still at the same height as they were when they were 5, you'd say there was a problem, would you not? You'd go to the doctor, there's a problem. They're not growing. You know, you that have been floaters for a really long time, maybe it's time you started to kick. You kickers that have been hanging onto that board for a really long time, maybe it's time to discard the board and start using your arms and become a real swimmer. And those of you that are swimmers, maybe it's time for you to join the life-saving crowd and get out there, because there's a ton of people out there that could use your help. It all depends on how much you want to do for God. It all depends on, are you willing to take up the anchors? Are you willing to commit yourself? Are you willing to make your way to shore? And look at verse 44, the last part. And so it came to pass. Verse 44, Acts 4:27. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. How many? All, you mean like really all of them? You mean all the floaters made it? And all the kickers made it? And all the swimmers made it? And all the lifesavers made it? How is it they all made it? How is it they all made it and not one perished? Because everyone did what they could. How many in this church will perish because of someone not doing what they could? How about out there? How about in your family and your friends? How about at the job site? How about your neighbors? How many of them will perish because we didn't do what we could? The things that the Lord does for the sake of others. Did you ever think about this? And we're going to close. Somebody's ship had to get broken apart in order for all those pieces to be available. Somebody bought that ship. Somebody owned that ship. And what appeared to the owner of that ship as a catastrophe and a total loss helped everyone else to escape alive. And you might be going through some really hard times right now, and it might appear to you that your ship is being broken apart. But God just may be using it to save a whole bunch of people around you. Amen. Tonight, for our altar call, are you willing to ask the Lord, Lord, are there any anchors still holding me back? Lord, are there any commitments you'd like me to make? Lord, is there a shore that you'd have me to get to that I'm not at, that you're calling me to, and I'm not willing to go because of everything I'd have to give up to get there? God, am I content with just being a swimmer and I could care less about the life-saving part? God, am I a kicker and I could care less about being a swimmer, so I'm going to constantly be calling the preacher every time I need something answered? God, I'm a floater, and I'm content because I'm saved, but I have no inclination or desire to do anything more. Would you change that in me, Lord? You know what the Lord says? You make some commitments to me tonight, and I will change your heart. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Would you allow the Lord to break up your ship so that others around you could be saved? The bottom line is this, one question that you need to ask yourself tonight. When the Lord sees you, will he say, you have done what you could? Preacher.